you know, thank you, family, for being here. You know, we share. A lot of Mark's family's here. Got to hug you this morning. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Mark. And we got, hey, Big Zach and amazing Kaylee. You're going to get baptized today. What a celebration that is for you guys. I know it is. I know what that's like. And I always want to honor Nikki's mom because I know what it's like, mom and dad, for your kids to be in the ministry, all right, and for them to pass on heritage. And I am so thankful for you guys. Thank you. I want to tell you, y'all sowed well, and we're reaping well because of y'all. And I'm so thankful for you. I honor you for that. And Mark's mom, thank you. You know, I've offered to pass a couple around here on to you because I think you did good with Mark. I really did. I did tell her this morning, Mark, I think you needed just one more whooping. But it's too late now. But the Lord's good at developing us. Amen. That's because me and you are buddies, or I couldn't say that. Okay. So this morning we get to hear from Nikki, and man, I'm committed to her ministering a number of times a year here. And of course, we've got other pastors here that minister, and I just love it. We bring in folk from the outside that I consider top-notch in the Lord, generals in the Lord to minister. And you know what? We need that. And we need to hear about Jesus from Nikki this morning. What I love about technology, there's a lot I don't like, but what I do like about technology is that this message today will be able to be heard and seen for many days to come. And so I'm telling you, you know, we have a number of folk that may not be here because of the frog strangler that we had this morning. But I'm here to tell you, you know, you pass on the message. Hey, you be a part of the witness team. Be a part of the media team. Media minister, pass it on. Because Nikki will be live in living color for y'all to experience. So I want to thank you for joining us this morning. And we welcome you in the name of Jesus. Thanks for being here. We're blessing Nikki Weller, and I want to tell you something. She's already blessed, but we're thankful for her, and we bless her in the name of Jesus. And let's rejoice in Jesus. Let's give her a Jesus welcome as she comes, okay?
Thank you, Papa. I love you.
I love you.
Frog strangler. Yeah, that's a new one.
Little East Texas came
out. I like it. Mark's whole family's from West Texas. It's just... And I'm from Tennessee, so if I get tired, y'all are in for quite the... Anyway, hi, guys. Happy Mother's Day. I don't know who of you guys remember, but last year when I spoke on Mother's Day, I was sitting down the whole time. And God brought me out of that really... I promised my mom I wouldn't say special words. Really not fun time. So I was just thanking God for redemption and bringing strength back to me. But... when Papa asked me to preach, he said, on Mother's Day, I want you to talk about rest. And as a mom, if someone wants to talk to me about rest, I just want to, like, slap them in the face or, like, a throat punch kind of situation. Like, really? Really? What, you and what army? And so I'm not coming here to say, oh, just don't do it. Just sit down. Just go take a bubble bath. That'll help. No. There is place for us who call Jesus Lord, and the place is rest, and it's found in him. Because you might have 15 minutes in a car in your garage when they think you're about to come inside and unload the groceries. You might, you know, drive up to the pharmacy line instead of going in because there's three cars and you can just sit there and wait. I had to wait for them. I don't know. I just sat here and watched TikTok on my phone. It just happened. That might sustain you for a minute, but when you're in it, and when life comes at you, and life comes at your babies, and life comes at those that you love, you need to be able to return to the place of rest. So that is what I'm talking about. And y'all, I created up notes, so I don't have to remember anything. I'm so thankful for myself. But Papa Nini, thank you for letting me. They don't ask to see my notes. They're just like, what do you need? Do you need a Dr. Pepper? Do you need a new Bible? What do you need? And I appreciate that. When I told one of my best friends, Liz, that I was going to speak about rest to moms. Do you have that meme, Patrick? Wait, it's coming. Read it. She goes, oh, it's like that meme. And I'm like, yeah. And then you throat punch her. Like, shut up, woman. That is not what I'm here to give you. I wrote this. I'm not here to high five you. I'm not here to tell you to just stop doing so much. I'm not even here to be your cheerleader. I'm not here to tell you to keep going as a mom. That's not my job. We're going to do this. You can get strategies. You can get a good system for laundry. You can learn how to date your husband once every 3 months. This weekly thing, I don't know where that comes from, except now. You can do all kinds of things, but until you learn of the one who's can sustain you in the middle of the bathroom while your kid has diarrhea and throws up at the same time, you're not going to come from a place of rest. And so I have no filter, so welcome to my head. Let me read this to you. In Psalms 146, I didn't have that put up on the board, but I want y'all to, this is my expectation. Wait, Psalms is in the middle. We're getting there. Be patient. Those Amplified Bibles, I love them. They're also weapons. They're giant. I said, Lord, really? He said, yeah, talk to him about rest. And then he took me to this psalm. This is about the Lord, an abundant helper. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. Do not trust in princes, in mortal men, in whom there is no salvation or help. When his spirit leaves him, he returns to the earth. And then that very day, his thoughts and his plans perish. How blessed and graciously favored is he whose help is in the God of Jacob. That's us. I love you, Lord. Wait, where am I? I looked up and I looked at you and then, okay. Whose hope is in the Lord, his God, who made heavens and earth, the sea and all that is in them. Think about that. A little scary, but it's amazing. Okay, who keeps truth and is faithful forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets free the prisoners. He's so good. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up, lifts. You know, get it. Those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous, the upright in heart. The Lord protects the strangers, and he supports the fatherless and the widow. But he makes crooked the way of the wicked, and I am thankful. The Lord shall reign forever, the God of Zion to all generations. Praise the Lord. Man, that is some good news right there. So if this is the God that we serve, if he is this good, why do we do anything on our own? I'll give you a few reasons. But let's go to James 4:6. In the Amplified, it says, but he gives more grace and more grace through the power of the Holy Spirit to defy sin and live an abundant life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for our salvation. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud and haughty, but continually gives the gift of grace to the humble who turn away from self-righteousness. Last year, when I was coming out of just pure exhaustion, self-righteousness, pride, self-reliance, all those things were badges I didn't know I was wearing. I could just feel the weight of them. And I, especially about my kiddos, I didn't know, but they were there. See, the word says he resists the proud, but to the humble he gives more grace. Right. Well, my husband and I, years ago, someone said that to us. He said, it's like a football team. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to insult you. I know better. And God switches teams. You might not like this, but it's in the Bible. And he pushes against you because he loves you. Yeah. Because you are a sheep and not an ox. You are not a burden animal. You are not made to carry burdens. You are not made to till ground. You are made to be with the shepherd and produce stuff and keep others warm with what you produce. That's your job. Yeah. So in his love, he resists you. And so sometimes you're like, Lord, I know you're good. Why? And he's like, because I said left, young lady, not right. Because I said to ask Mark and not just do it the way you've always done it. Because your seasons changed and you didn't stop. Ugh. I say all this as the pot calling the kettle black. This is not mine. These are both mine. Wow. I am abundantly blessed. Wait, hold it. that scripture is talking about self-righteousness and not trying to be saved or get to heaven and not go to hell. All good things. We believe that here. But also, if you want to live the life of grace, it's not a Sunday life. It's not a Wednesday night life. It's a 2 o'clock in the morning life. Right. It's a back of the grocery store life. It's a you're overheated and you and your husband are both tired at the same time, and it's like the Bermuda Triangle of marriage. Bad things happen. And the Lord says, shh, take it low, sister. Humble yourself. Put your eyes back in your head. And I am not always good at this, especially if I'm hot. Because he's always like, when you get hot, I don't know you. And I'm like, I don't want to know you when I'm hot. But when we humble ourselves, God gives us more grace to see what he's saying, what God's saying. It's just real life. He's the only one that can equip us to do what we need to do. But what we as women do especially, but men do this too, is we will sacrifice ourselves to where we are literally and figuratively bleeding. We will go until everybody in the house gets sick. We don't get sick. We take care of them. They start to get better. Now we get sick. I mean, like, this is literal. Did you know that overworking is a form of unbelief? I say this as the last 2 weeks, as soon as I was like, yes, Lord, I will go down this path. It's just life's been coming. Life's been coming. I just one thing at a time. Well, okay, Lord, I come to you. And Mark can tell when I'm in grace, it's like a dance. I'm okay, Lord, yes, we're going here. Oh, I'm on my list. Okay, yes, you said I can go do that part of my list. Okay, no, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to have dinner with my family and not clean up and get to the next thing. And when I get out of it, I'm like, but we had this, then this, and this, and this, and this, and this. I step out of it, and there's this pressure. And there's this ticking clock in the back of my head, and the God I know never sounds like that. Yeah. He's like, return, return, return. The God of strategies. God is asking for us to believe that he is our helper. And I'm not in control of your heart picture that has to perceive him who wants to help you. That's between you and him. So we're going to go under the assumption of, one, you want to serve God. And two, that you believe he's actually good. And when you do, well, Papa T has been talking about the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies. Ooh. When Saul had those, he did not steward them well. He went his own way. He went back into idolatry. He rebelled, and he became a really ugly man. But when he did this, the Lord was like, he was wanting him. He's wanting, I'm wanting to be with you. I'm trying to give you a chance. No, you weren't my first choice, but I have a plan. It's okay. And Saul was like, I know what I'll do. I'm going to make all these sacrifices to you. I've messed up royally, but I'm going to get all these oxen and all these, and I'm going to go defeat this army and what's supposed to be yours, Lord. Even though you said kill every man, woman, child, there's reasons for that. We're reaping the repercussions of not doing that still today. Every oxen, every sheep, every goat, kill them all. Then when then Samuel came in, he said, why do I hear oxen? Why do I hear sheep? Oh, I saved the best of them from the enemies that we kept. I saved the best of the spoils, and we're sacrificing them as a sweet offering unto the Lord. And the Lord was like, no, I didn't ask you to do that. And see, we as women, we'll keep going and going and going. And even though we could sit down for a minute and let that wait for 2 weeks, yes, I know I do this all the time. I am aware. We will just keep going because we believe our sacrifice is what our family wants the most. We believe that it's what God wants. But in 1 Samuel 15:22, it says, Samuel said, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obedience to the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. God desires obedience over sacrifice. And I understand the very fact that your children is alive means that you sacrificed. Get it. The very fact that you chose to put on real people clothes is a sacrifice today. I understand the great and the minutia of being a mom and being a servant of the Lord. But if he didn't ask you to do it, it's filthy rags, y'all. And there's a reason it's wearing you out royally. We are that. God said, humility and obedience, that pleases God because he is able to extend exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we can ask or think in grace to us. He's no longer having to resist us and go, child. It's I kept picturing my kids when they were little. I want to go out that door. And you're just, as a mom, just leaning on it. And they're like pulling, you're just leaning because you just know if they open that door, they're going to set off the alarm and it's going to be a whole thing. And they're like, why are you fighting? But then the kid wants to go out there and you're like, I will get your juice. I will get your bag. We will go. We are going out this door. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to go with you because he said, it's that way out, child. Not that way. He's so good. This is me telling on myself, but Zachary was like 3 months old. You think you're tired when your kid first is born. You're really not. You're just recovering from a car accident. And you have a small human that you love, but they don't speak English, and you don't understand anything their face is saying to you. But then you start to get to know them, and then about 3 or 4 months later, then you're tired. This is the way it works. And Zach was, man, he was an eater. That kid was 26 pounds by the time he was a year old. I mean, pure buttermilk. Like, you're like, doom, 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 like Popeye the Sailor Man. All buttermilk. That was you. And one day he was just crying and crying and crying and crying and crying. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I stripped him all the way naked just to make sure I didn't have a hair wrapped around his toe or God knows. And I just started, new diaper, new everything. Finally, I just called my mom. And mom, he says, crying. And I don't know. And she said, Nikki, is he hungry? You gotta understand, my kid never took a bottle. He ate all the time. And for some reason, that had just, and then, I'm a terrible mom. He hasn't eaten in 45 minutes. How about, you know. But there's sometimes when we're doing the same thing we've done a million times over and over again, and it's just not working. And it might be, hello, stupid, your child is hungry. Or it might be, behind that door you've always walked through is a booby trap now. So I'm leaning on it. Turn around. Go out that door. Because God's good. He's a dad. Stop moving forward and ask for help. In James 1:5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, it will be given to him. Without rebuke or blame means he's not going to go like, child, did I not already tell you? Have I not already said this 4 times? He's always like, thanks. Yeah. Yes. I will repeat myself. Parenting is repeating yourself. All the time. And then when you think they got it and you haven't repeated yourself for about 5 weeks, suddenly you have to repeat yourself again. And God is the same way with us. And I'm so thankful because when I get tired, things get big. And when I get tired, I forget. I'm not as sensitive. Are you that way? Ooh, la, la, ha, ha. But there's a place, this is where God's been meeting me in my fire hose season recently, between asleep and awake. I was in my bed, and I was laying on my left-hand side the other day, and I half woke up, and the tally list in my brain started going. And I was like, no, 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 no. We are going potty, and we are going back to bed. But it just kept going. And I said, Lord, I need today to be productive. And he said, okay. And I like gave him my list in my heart. And I thought it was like 2 a.m. It was like 5:59, you know, like a minute before. And then my alarm went off, and I sat up and I went, today's going to be productive. And you're not going to get everything on your list done. Okay. You're going to get everything on my list done. And y'all, that required about every 5 to 10 minutes asking him what he wanted. And it's not a clear yes or no. It's a, do I feel pressure? Do I feel peace? Peace gets to the umpire is what the Word of God says. And sometimes you'll be going and there'll be grace, 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 and you'll get it like 2:30 in the afternoon and the grace is shifted. That's because there's all these other people who are not consulting the Holy One, who are doing their things, and he is the great rerouter going, rerouting, rerouting. Now we're doing this. And if you only check on him first thing in the morning or on Sunday, if you don't check him all day long, you're going to hit a wall, and then you're going to blame God for not being there. But he is an ever-present help in time of need. Present now. The I am. He is the I am. This is so funny, y'all. In Proverbs 26, 12, it says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more help for a fool than for him." In other words, arrogance is worse than stupidity. So, I am stupid, but I am not arrogant. Lord, I need your help. I do. Above my kitchen, there's a plaque that I had made on Etsy, and it's, what is it? Oh, Proverbs. In the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I got that made when we started our homeschool journey because I felt so inadequate. You know, the girl that dropped out of school at 14 and got on drugs. I got on drugs, and then I dropped out of school. There were doctors involved in chronic illness, but it was, and so that lie of inadequacy followed me my whole life. And then it was time to, and the grace was to homeschool our kids and keep them home. That's great. I can't do this. And he's like, I will do this. I'll get you what you need, when you need, one step at a time. And then out of fear, I'm like, I'm going to keep them home. He's like, 1 year at a time, young lady. One session at a time, young lady. Okay, yes, Lord. But listen to it in the Amplified. It says, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 said, "Trust in the Lord and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding." Yes. Women, yeah, we see what they don't see. Doesn't mean we always get to do it our way. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. That's humility. But God won't humble you. That's humiliation. We humble ourselves. That's our job. So we go low. We say, Lord, you're right. I don't know. Yes, I've done this 20 million times, but you're the God of I am. And you don't know what my kids need. What I need, and you know my husband needs, and you know what my mom needs, and you know what my friend needs, and you know about the stupid man that lives around the corner that's making bad choices, and my kids are about to walk past them. So it might make sense that we're going to go to the park at 11:30, and I have everything packed, and he said, no, get in the car and go to the library. I just see in my heart, you know that when I say I see in my heart, you know when you're trying to remember a dream, there's a place you go in your mind and you can see shadows of the pictures you saw in your dream. That's where I see things from the Lord. It's not vivid for me. It's an impression. And because if I stay in the word, my heart remains soft and I become sensitive. And I can tell you it's as clear as day. But when I tell people, oh, I heard God say that or whatever, and they'll be like, you heard him yelling? I'm like, no. Just heard him go, Nikki. Shh. Or stop. Or go. But it's so subtle because our God is a gentleman and he requires consent. He loves us so much. Wait, hold it. You know what to do. Y'all, my lips get so dry. The default of moms is to keep going. The default of providers, men who are not special people who need to be flogged, the ones who provide and give themselves over and over again, their default is just keep going. Even when it gets hard, especially if it gets hard. Especially if you're all falling like flies from a sickness or something bad is happening at work, you get in and you buckle down harder instead of going, the wind's changed, Lord. And if God says keep going, keep going. If he says bail, you bail. If he says go bless your boss, take him to lunch even though he's about to lay you off, you go take him to lunch. You do what God says. He's so good. But where is this rest? Our rest is found when we remain attached and connected, dependent on God. Won't happen. It just won't. When we remain in him with our choice in humility, that defers to his ways. Yeah. It's still great, does it? But I tell you what, there's a pattern in my life when I've okay, you said the seasons change, you want this in this season, or you want me to lay this down, or you want me to be here in front of the people who are safe, that love you, that will walk in humility to me, and love and mercy to me, and say, I've screwed up, I've gone too far, I feel like I'm spread as thin as a crepe, and it doesn't even taste good, like, and all of a sudden, I will be met, especially by God's people, with just mercy. And God will bring people along that will refresh and send you new ways of thinking. I love it when I do the budget with Mark, because he has a way of taking a four-step process and turning into a one-and-a-half-step process. And he sees things from different angles than I do, because I just am not built that way, but I'm teaching two other humans, so it's okay. But but God will bring you people who literally see things from a different angle than you. And it's him, because he loves you. And it brings ease, and it takes a burden off. But unless we ask for it and then consent to go in the new direction, it's useless. And then we go back to God and say, but I'm still tired. He's like, well, send the helicopter and the boat. What's your problem here? In John 15, 1 through 11, wait a minute, John 15. Y'all have heard this before, but I want you to, this is about I am the vine, you are the branches. You've been around here for any while, you've heard this. But 8 times in these verses, it says, remain in me. And in other translations, it says to abide in him. It means stay, stay, stay. So listen, I am the true vine. This is where rest is found. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes. If you're being pruned, it's because he loves you and he sees good things in you. So that it will bear more fruit, even richer and finer fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have given you, the teachings which I have discussed with you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit producing evidence of your faith to your kids when you are ready to throw them into the zoo. Unless the branches and the one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, there that is cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. This seems like some of you are saying, but how? You go to his word, start in Genesis, go on a date, find out what his mom's name is, what his dad did, he was a carpenter, what his friends' names were. You find out what he liked and what he didn't like, and suddenly you fall in love with him. Yeah. And suddenly you realize your heart's soft, and that vine that you're staying connected to is producing life. Y'all, I started an herb garden. Lily and Edie know this because I talk about it a lot because I'm excited. But Mark bought me an herb garden for the first time. I don't know what I'm doing, but I got it. We put in good soil. I bought the plants and put it in. We water it. I put it where the sun is. It looks amazing. I look like I know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing, but it's, I mean, can I explain the joy? It's a 10. Thank you, honey. Yeah. And it's not because I know what I'm doing, and my life is not fruitful because I know what I'm doing. It's because the soil is soft. The nutrients are rich from the word of God. I stay in the sun, especially when I'm feeling weak, and I am watered daily.
Thank you.
And if you want to be fruitful and go, I don't know how it happened, but it's beautiful, you have to stay connected. It's the only way this works. It's literally the only way it works. But y'all, someone said this morning. God brought me to this morning. Someone said, you measured the value of a good day, not according to what we accomplished, but how much we abided in the Lord. That's how he wants us to measure our day. And I don't know if you have a man full of grace in your life, but I do. And if the whole crap went to the fan all day, yeah, I said that, sorry, Mom. If it all went to the fan that day and nothing that we discussed got done, but I stayed in peace all day long and there was grace in our home, he will tell me, well done, wife, won't you? Every time. Every time. And you might not have a partner, but I tell you, the Holy Spirit will tell you the same thing. And there will be more done that needs to get done, and the things that fall away won't even matter. Some of you have lists that are laminated. I love a laminator. Oh, gosh, there's a timer on me. I forgot about that. Okay, it's fine. I love a good laminator. My mom bought me one. I'm a homeschool mom, y'all. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I will get the school supplies, and they will look good. Like Lisa Frank on Fleek. It's amazing. But some of you have to-do lists that are laminated. Tuesdays I do this. Thursdays I do this. Sundays I do this. Saturdays I do this. And God's like, that's a cool framework, kid. Great. But this morning, we need to talk. And at 10 o'clock, we need to talk. And at 10:30, we're going to talk. And at 2:30, we're going to talk. And then I'm going to see you in the morning. If we don't do that, you want new, you want more, you want renewal, you want your life to look better than it did yesterday, then your humility and your walk with the Lord has to look different than yesterday. Yeah. And you want his more, you want his abundance, you want him to pour into places where you're like, then you got to take your cover off that pot and stop telling him not on Tuesday. God's saying, today is the day that I'm filling your kid up. Sit down. But it's laundry day. No, it's not. Tomorrow's laundry day. You want God to renew you and your husband and intimacy and time to just look at each other and go, I really like you. I'm not scared for when the kids are gone. Then it's not Sunday. You're going to put on some cute jeans. You're going to go out. Then you're going to come home and you're going to put on his old t-shirt and you're going to watch something with sci-fi on it. It's going to be great. Because that's where the grace was for your family. God is not a God of lamination. This whole book is a rerouting story. The first chapter is, well, they screwed it up. So I'm going to tell a story of redemption, and then I'm going to send them, and then I'm going to spend the rest of my time until I come back trying to convince them that that's their story too. So if you've messed up, congratulations, you're not a cyborg. You're a human who needs God. And you need him right now, and I need him right now. Y'all listen to this. Ecclesiastes 10:10 says this, if the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. But wisdom to sharpen the axe helps him succeed with less effort. Seems out of left field, but if you are doing the same thing you've always done with the same tools you've already done, and it's just not going like it's supposed to, you need to get sharpened. And it's through the word of God, and it's through saints, people who love God, who are real, who aren't requiring of you to be perfect, but they're like, this is what God's told me, and this is where I screwed up, and this is where God was merciful to me, and this is what God said to me, and it somehow it'll confirm to you. Yeah. You know, he's so good. Oh, man, y'all. But if you feel like chopping with a dull axe, maybe repent of self-reliance. Just the way it is. As women, we power through and we work and we just keep going. But wisdom that serves others and also strengthens us as we move is done in humility. The wisest people I've ever met are the humblest. They understand that who they listen to, who they keep around them, is who they become and reflect.
Good.
And they also have a way. Have you ever met the people that are the most fascinating in their old age? They have many lives they've lived. I was this, and then I was this, and then my kids grew, and I was this, and then I was this. They change with the season. And God blesses it. It's good. We are not a laminated people. I'm so thankful. Maybe shrink wrap like a little like Spanx situation, but that's different. Okay. It's fine. God will leave if you have small kids, if you have immature kids, if you have people that you call to shepherd that just aren't getting it. He is for you. And Isaiah 40 says, he will protect the flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and he will gather them in his bosom. He will gently and carefully lead those nursing their youngs. And it's not babes, that's, you got people who need you. They don't even know what to drink. They don't even know when they need it. They don't even know that they're crying because they got gas. They don't know that. God has mercy, grace for you. Ooh, is it because of me, Edie? I think. But if you don't turn to him and say, Dad, I just don't know. You've given me these babies. They're crying and I don't know this part of them. Y'all, I remember Kaylee. I love you, darling. When she was born, I remember grieving because I was always with Zach. I knew from the back of his head if he was hungry. I could just look at his color a little bit and go, oh, he doesn't feel good, or oh, he's hungry, or just the way he was sitting, I knew he was about to get restless, and then all of a sudden there's this other being, and I don't know you. I love you. I love you so much, but I don't know you. But there's a grace there in a season for you to learn what the people that God gives you underneath need and read. And then as soon as you figure it out as a parent, they're going to change. And if you don't change, you're just going to be frustrated and still in charge of them. And then bad things, friends. Ever present right now. You know, I love information. I've learned this about myself. I like researching things, and every morning you'll find me with my Bible and like a thesaurus and a concordance and like three other, because it's fun. Like, why did you say that? And what is the real meaning of it? And what's the context? And that's so fun for me. And it's just how I work. But to like decompress, I'll watch cooking shows on YouTube and I'll watch people like do home things, because the way people choose to do things, I like to glean from and also be like, that's really interesting. I'm so glad I don't have 9 kids like you. You know, like, that's just the way. So what I'm saying is, I am by nature a collector of information. I like it. It's the way it is. But God has created this, y'all. He said to me the other day, he said, go to your bookshelf. I said, okay. He said, I want to edit your bookshelf, a literal bookshelf in my front room. And I said, okay. I like books. All right. And we went through each book, and because they're tools to me. And he said, this was for a season. It's gone. This is going to be for someone else. Leave it. This is for you now. And if it wasn't a tool for now or for me to have in my boot, he said, get out of here. I was like, okay. So I gave it to my friends, and half of them, they said no. So they're going to Goodwill. That's fine. But King Solomon, wisest man who ever lived, okay, he was given supernatural. They said about Solomon, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings. This is 1 Kings 10, 23 through 24. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth in wealth and wisdom. All the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his mind. Wouldn't that be something? No, thank you. I mean, y'all, you realize they had to hear all these people and all their problems. And all their need, I mean, like that, but he needed that as the king who ruled over a vast empire. But listen to this. At the end of Ecclesiastes, which Ecclesiastes is sad if you listen to it, the wisest man who ever lived who had 700 wives, no. 200 concubines, dude. And his heart was pulled away from the Lord. But then when he landed back, when he circled back, at the end of Ecclesiastes, he said this, Ecclesiastes 12:11, the words of the wise are like prodding goads, and these collected sayings are firmly fixed in the mind like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. He's talking about a stick that says, go this way. No, go this go over here. And a well-driven stake, because they all lived in tents. So when the wind came, it wouldn't fall down. It also talks about stakes that are driven up into the wall of a house that's made out of stone, so you can hang pots and you don't lose your tools. Wisdom helps you not lose what you've already acquired. He's so good. But if you go on in Ezekiel 37:24, it talks about the one shepherd. He's talking about Jesus, the one shepherd. Yeah. But going on to Ecclesiastes 11 through 12, it says, the words of the wise are like prodding goads, and these collective sayings are firmly fixed in the mind like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. This is what he told me the other morning. But beyond this, my son, about going further than the words given by the one shepherd.
There you go.
Be warned. The writing of many books is endless, so don't believe everything you read.
Right.
And excessive study and devotion to books is wearying to the body. How many times have you heard somebody get a hold of a piece of truth and then they just start collecting? Oh, what's your story? And what's your story? And what's that book? And what does that doctor say? And what's that? And oh, we're just all going to confirm it. And all of a sudden, their eyes are off the truth they got.
Yep.
And they're talking to all, and there's confusion.
Right.
And they're weary. And they're tired. Especially as women, because we want to validate everybody's story, especially if it reflects a part of ours. That's not what we're called to do. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, in that story, we're not to identify with her. We're to identify with Jesus, who was carrying the answer. And so we have to allow the Lord, when we have littles, when we have bigs, when we have husbands, when we have jobs, we have to allow the Lord to edit the bookshelf we pull tools off of. This tool is not for now. You can keep it. You're going to give it to that mom later. Or, oh, you just need to get rid. No, that doesn't apply to you anymore. Stop listening, because I'm whispering to you and you're hearing all these voices that are no longer valid. They're good, but they're not valid.
There you go.
Oh, he's so kind. Please edit. Please edit. If you've asked God for wisdom and you said, Lord, I just want wisdom, please also ask him to sift the voices in your life. It might even be a TV show. It might be music, because when you're singing, what you're saying, what your mind actually doesn't know the difference between speaking and singing. So what you're singing, your voice believes you are saying, therefore you are speaking those things. This is someone, I don't listen to Christian radio because they just beg God all the time. It makes me want to just shoot myself in the foot a little bit. But what I do listen to, I'm careful. And then sometimes we just listen to the Beach Boys, because I don't have to edit that for my kiddos. Edit. If things seem loud and you don't think you can hear him, he's still talking. But you're the one that consents in humility to edit the voices you're listening to. He's so kind. So, if the Holy Spirit has convicted your heart that you're walking in self-reliance, or you need to, in humility, ask for wisdom, you just need to repent. Repent means to change your mind. To turn around and go the other way.
Right.
It is, and he's not going to flog you, and he's not going to scream and yell. He's going to be like, oh, good. I've been waiting. I'm so glad. Yay, good job. He's so good. One more thing, y'all. In closing, I wrote this. Because of the cross, we are now God's dwelling place.
Oh, yeah.
He lives in us. So that means any bathroom stall, any back of the car, any in the middle of your pantry. My most healing places were in my laundry room for some reason. I don't know why, because I live there. But where he is, where you are, he is. We don't need a building or a temple to abide with him, to stay with him, to rest with him. We can turn at any point around in repentance and be led to refreshment and the place that is rest. That's awesome. And if we let him do that in us continually, if we have kids, we're modeling it for them. Because I want my kids to know that, goodness, I messed up and I need him. And I want, it's just like when Mark and I, if we have a disagreement, we will let them see our kids see us talk until it's done, if it's appropriate. They need to know that sometimes you got to talk until it's done.
Yeah.
And, whew, why did that come out of my face? I don't know. Okay, we're going to go with it. In closing, let me read Psalms 84. God told me this morning over y'all. Proverbs, we've gone too far. Longing for the temple worship is what the title is. So I was like, really, Lord? He's like, yes, read Nicole Maurice. That's my government name. It's fine. Yes, sir. So how lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. That is us. My soul, my life, my inner self longs for and greatly desires the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird has found a house. And the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her her young. Thank you, Lord. He is where I lay my young. And I'm not tired anymore. Thank you, Lord. That was a long time. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed and greatly favored are those who dwell in your house and in your presence. They will be singing your praises all the day long. Blessed and greatly favored is the man whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways to Zion, meaning he is allowed to travel in the places of your heart and guide you in the way you should go. That's what that means. Passing through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength, increasing in victorious power. Each of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob, and see our shield, O God. And look at the face of your anointed, the King, as your representative. For a day in your courts, with you, walking with you. Get it, guys? Is better than 1,000 anywhere else. Yeah. And I would rather stand as a doorkeeper at the threshold of the house of the God than live at ease in the tents of the wicked. I really would. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows grace and favor and honor. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly.
Yeah.
I need you. The Lord of hosts, how blessed and greatly favored is the man who trusts in you, believing in you, relying on you, and committing himself to you with confident hope and expectation.
Wow.
Okay, there was a Maybelline Sting kind of situation. Wait for it. All he's asking is for you in humility, say, I need you. And I don't know what to do, but I'm going to look for you. That's been my prayer for the last year and a half. Lord, I love you, and I know you're good. I don't know how to pray, but I'm going to look for you. And I look for him in the people. I look for him in the songs I hear. I look for him in the word. And you know what? I see him. And my heart stays soft when I don't know how to pray. So I love you. That's what I had to share. Oh, and after service, we brought cupcakes because we're going to celebrate. So please stay and have some cupcakes. But more importantly, just ask him for wisdom, y'all. He wants you to do this thing from rest. That's it.
Woo!